The Bedin did not worship Mieliki. Their goddess was Atar the Merciless, the yellow goddess of the scorching desert sun.
I do not understand.
I was born on the spring equinox, Mieliki's most holy day, the child explained. The goddess blesses me and teaches me.
Atar, Kavita corrected. Catti Bree shook her head.
Come with me, she bade them, starting for the makeshift tent flap. I will show you.
Her parents hesitated.
There is a place not too far from the camp.
It is high night, Niraj replied. The time of Nasir. The lions are out and hunting.
The child laughed.
They will not bother us. Come.
When her parents still hesitated, she added, pleaded,
Please, do this for me. I must show you.
Niraj and Kavita looked to each other, then rose and followed their little girl out of the tent, out of the encampment, and onto the open plain. Catti Bree led them at a great pace, but they hadn't gone far before Kavita rushed up and grabbed her child by the arm to stop her.
It's too dangerous, she said. We will come back when the sun goddess has returned. Trust me, Catti Bree said.
Again there was magic behind her words. And on they went. They came to the high dune before sunrise, though the sky was beginning to lighten with its approach. Through a narrow entrance between wind-blown rocks, they came into Catti Bree's secret garden, only to find one of their tribesmen lying dead beneath the lone tree, face down in a pool of his own blood.
Jinjap, Niraj said, turning the dead man over.
Catti Bree kneeled beside Niraj.
No, child, Kavita said. This is not a sight for a young girl.
But Catti Bree was not a young girl, nor was she listening. She had already fallen into spellcasting, blue tendrils of magic beginning to creep from her right sleeve as she called upon the power of Mieliki. She put her head close to Jinjab's chest and whispered something her parents could not hear, then nodded as if receiving an answer. Niraj stepped back, and Kavita took his arm, standing very close to him, both watching their little daughter with confusion and more than a little bit of horror. A few moments later, Catti Bree stood up and turned to face them.
Jinjap betrayed me to the Netherese, she explained. They came for me.
No,
Kavita cried.
How? Why?
Niraj said at the same time, both moving forward to embrace their daughter, who managed to stay away from them.
They learned that I am different. Spell-scarred, perhaps, but certainly unusual, she explained. Jinjap told them this. He just admitted as much to me, though the words of the dead are ever cryptic and not easily deciphered.
This is madness, Niraj wailed.
You spoke with the dead?
Kavita asked at the same time.
I am a disciple of Mieliki, Catti Bree explained. I am blessed with powers divine and arcane, not unlike either of you in the latter, though my spells date to a time long lost, and to a goddess who is no more, I fear.
Both of her parents were shaking their heads in confusion. They looked to each other helplessly.
I am your daughter, Catti Bree said to try to calm them. I am Rukia, but I am more than that. I am not cursed, quite the opposite.
The way you speak, Kavita said, shaking her head.
I am a child in body only, Catti Bree replied.
She considered going further with her explanation, but changed her mind, thinking that she would be bringing pain to these two, who certainly did not deserve it. Nor did she wish to endanger them, and it seemed obvious that knowledge could bring great peril. As could simple association, she realized. She didn't know why the Netherese were after her, of course, but they were, as the assassin had claimed, and as the spirit of Jinjab had just confirmed. Perhaps it was simply a matter of their ban on the Bedin using magic, and Jinjab had betrayed her in that regard alone. But even then, attention to her would bring attention to Niraj and Kavita. Unwanted attention, dangerous attention. Caddy Bree wanted to go to her altar and pray to Mialiki. She looked to the tree and winced. No, she realized, not to pray. She wanted to go there and have Mialiki tell her that she was wrong in what her instincts were telling her. But she was not wrong.
I must leave you, she heard herself saying.
Kavita wailed.
You cannot, Niraj cried at her. You are just a baby.
I will find you again, I promise, Caddy Bree said. But I'm in danger here. You cannot know that, Kavita insisted. But I do, and so do you. And I put you in danger, all of the Desai in danger. And so I must go. And if the Netherese come looking for me, tell them the truth. It matters not, for they will not find me.
No, my Zabrija, Niraj called, coming forward.
Caddy Bree held up her hand and enacted a simple spell, one that stopped Niraj in his tracks as surely as if he had walked into a mountainside.
I leave you with this, said the child, who was not a child. Take heart, for you and all the Bedin. The old ways will return to Anurag. The yellow goddess, who is Amonitor, who is Lathander, will return in all her glory, and desert sands will devour Netheril. This I foresee, and the Bedin will live once more as they had for centuries before the return of the Archwizards. Fear not for me, my parents, she went on. I go with the goddess, and my road is well known to me. We will meet again.
The two continued to plead with her, and tried to come forward, but this time, Caddy Bree used another spell to hold them at bay. She spun and she sang, and her waving arms became wings, and her form became that of an owl. And away she flew, silently, into the desert night. Part 2. The Childhood Purpose.
The world moves along outside the purview or influence of my personal experience. To return to Icewind Dale is to learn that the place has continued, with new people replacing those who are gone through immigration and emigration, birth and death. Some are descendants of those who lived here before. But in this transient place of those who flee the boundaries of polite society, many, many more are those who have come here anew from other lands. Similarly, new buildings have arisen while others have fallen.